Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Eurovision Song Contest, this Story of Fire Saga. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from Dystopia for another Homes Alone edition. My guests today need no introduction, except how would you know who they are if I don't introduce them? It's Karen Chi, Ian Carmel, and Oliver Robbins.
Yay!
Oh!
Hey there. I never tell the guests what they're supposed to do at that point when they all get introduced simultaneously. There's really no specific thing I guess you're supposed to do.
We should try to harmonize, right? That's what we're supposed to do.
It just always sounds like a reunion of three of the Muppets. Three random noises that come out of people when they get introduced. Let's talk to each of you individually and alphabetically, starting with first-time guest Karen Chi is here. Hello, Karen.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You're on the East Coast, I suppose?
Well, I actually was. I'm actually in Korea right now.
What?
Because it's very random. Basically, I don't recommend plane travel. I don't want to come across like I'm traveling for fun. But my grandma got very sick about a week ago, and so my parents and I like came here rather suddenly, and then she like pretty immediately started getting better. So now we're just in Korea.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, and you're just going to stay there till for the time being, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, we're all working from home anyway, so it feels like even if it doesn't really matter where I am, yeah.
What's the time difference, though?
Well, I think it's 13 hours from New York, so right now here it's 6 in the morning.
Oh, no. You agreed to get up and do this? Thank you so much for that.
Oh, no worries. It's I'm very jet-lagged, so I would have been up anyway.
Okay. And of course, you're a comedian and writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know, because we've never met before, I've wondered about this. How many times have you had to do that bit on the show where you have to come out and defend one of your jokes?
Oh, I think I've only had to do it once. But,
oh, so you're the best writer on the show then?
No. There are lots of writers who have never had to defend a joke. I think, but mine was like, monumentally bad.
Well, I love that bit. The one time I saw it, I'm very glad to hear that it was just a one-time thing.
Thank you.
Also joining us today is our buddy Ian Carmel.
Hello.
Hey, man.
What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been, one of my high points, one of the silver linings, if that's even applies here, is watching you as the shining star of the CBS summer show Game On.
Oh, my God. Thank you. You mean the one on the Columbia Broadcasting System, Wednesdays at 8 o'clock?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. where Venus Williams and I head off in a series of zany competitions against Rob Gronkowski and Bobby Lee.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, you're my favorite on there, but only because Bobby Lee never listens to this.
I'll take whatever I can get. Listen, I'll fill up on table scraps, man.
It will hurt his feelings more to find out that you're better than him.
I think it absolutely would hurt his feelings more.
Yeah, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need that.
I know I'm lousy.
And so of all that crazy stuff you do on the show, all those crazy stunts and games, have you injured anything?
No, just general like fat guy soreness after doing like physical activity, but no injuries. Bobby Lee did injure himself. He like tore his hamstring slipping on a pool of water caused by David Ortiz hitting baseballs at him. which will make sense once you see the game on the show. Bobby like hurt himself. And then he also got hurt wrestling a sumo wrestler, which we both had to do in an episode that I don't think has come out yet. But I made it out of it unscathed, but very sweaty and out of breath.
How many weeks are there total?
8 total. I think there's 3 more weeks left now.
Yeah. It's been my favorite new thing of the, it would have been a summer show either way, I guess.
I think so too. It's got summer show written all over it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was perfect. It's perfect summer show. There's a lot of falling down, but I just like the dynamic between you and all the other the guests, and you have real good. That David Ortiz, though, he was a real loose cannon, right?
Real loose cannon. Real athletes in general kind of don't know how to act, really. You know what I mean? They'll say a lot of stuff that ends up getting cut out. It's like the best way I can put it. You know what I mean? Like. Just like a lot of jokes where you're like, ooh, this is network at 8 o'clock. That's not going to make it on TV. But while doing that, they're also like really, really fun. It's crazy. Like you're sitting next to J.R. Smith and you're both at the same job. It's really crazy.
Well, I'm excited that you're on there and that they, you know, the every promo on CBS for it is you screaming something at the end about bringing the ruckus. And it's super fun.
I'm good at getting the last loud line out before a commercial. So if you ever need me for that, I'm your man.
Okay, yeah. Just we got one commercial break on the show. I'll let you know when it's
coming. If you want me to just be like, Robert Zemeckis, not in my house, just let me know and we can do it.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what we're looking for. If you could stick around afterwards and give us a few wild lines as well.
I'm in the biz. I get it. Absolutely.
And speaking to somebody in the biz, I'm so excited to meet another first-timer on the show. When I heard that this gentleman wanted to be on the program, I was very excited to say yes. You know him as Robbie in the original, the OG Poltergeist. It's Oliver Robbins. Hello, Oliver.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This is so exciting to sort of meet you.
Yeah,
via
meeting
via this Zoom device, but it's very exciting to see that now, all grown up, because I'm sure you, tell us how you have now written and directed a feature film, and you must have been inspired all the way back to working with Tobe Hooper and Steven Spielberg.
Well, that's what really got me started in filmmaking. Mr. Spielberg on the set gave me this fancy Super 8 camera and I began shooting with it. And after that, I said, Steven, I want to be a filmmaker. I want to struggle for my entire life and never make any money as a filmmaker. And he said, if you really want to achieve that, go to USC Film School. No, he didn't say that part, but he definitely said, go to USC Film School. And that's exactly what I did. And I've been making films since college, pretty much. I did this last little movie called Celebrity Crush, and it's about this psycho fan, which picks up this guy at this the signing for this movie that he was in the 1980s called Change Face Clown. And, so basically she seduces him, takes her to her place, and he basically becomes her prisoner. And it's kind of a black comedy with horror elements in it. And I acted in this thing. I hadn't acted in 30 years, and it was a lot of fun to really do.
And you have this movie, where is it currently available?
It is now available everywhere right now. It's available on, I think, not Hulu, but I think Fandango, iTunes, and basically all the digital platforms right now.
Right on. And so I'm just going to say it. Are you tired of people asking you about the supposed Airplane 2 curse?
It's all true. Everything that happened, everything they say, and everything you read, I was haunted, and I've been cursed my entire life. And now I live in a closet, and I never reveal my address, and I move from house to house whenever I possibly can, because, you know, the spirits are chasing after me after the curse of Poltergeist.
These are all things people really say about you?
No, they actually, you know, believe it or not, people always ask me about the curse. And, you know, I think all movies have, like, a mythology behind them. And, you know, what happened on that movie was just so horribly tragic. But, you know, honestly, making a movie was such an amazing experience. And I loved working with, you know, Mr. Spielberg and Toby. And it was just a life-changing experience. And I just had such a great time. And we were such a family on that. And I really believe, you know, all the events that took place were the horrible events that took place afterwards were really unrelated. And, you know, people really just connect the dots to make up, you know, this urban legend.
Yeah, it's just, it's always interesting when when there's coincidences that you can, you know, sit around and pretend or, you know, have a much bigger meaning.
Exactly.
There was just, you know, such radically different tragic deaths surrounding that movie. And then, of course, when the older gentleman that was in part two, when he died, he was 90-something. Like, that's not part of a curse.
Well, actually, Julian Beck, he was a fine, you know, he started a drama school, I believe, in Manhattan, and he was dying of cancer even before he started the movie. And the studio had to self-insure, and he was such a kind and such a gentle man. And he was doing what he truly loved to do to the very last day. And I think he knew he was going to pass on before even during the production. But he was doing what he truly loved, and I think that's really all that mattered to him.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here, and I could talk Poltergeist and that crazy ass tree outside your bedroom. I could talk about that.
Yeah, that was pretty scary
all day long. What?
That was pretty scary. All those things they did to me. You know, it was like on that set. They were like, you know, today we're gonna do this. We're gonna have this tree come after you, and tomorrow we're gonna have a clown doll attack you. And I was 10, 11 years old, and 11 years old, and I was like, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, you did a good job of looking like it wasn't fun at all in the movie. It's a terrifying film, and thank you for being here. And also, I enjoyed hearing you, as you're a longtime adult now, and you still refer to him as Mr. Spielberg. That was
I have such a great respect for him, and I always look at him that way. And he is, you know, he's a master filmmaker. So. You know, it's funny, I was working at the studio on this film, and they even said to me, they said, you know, would Steven look at this? Would Steven give us notes? And these are guys who've made a lot of big studio movies and made hundreds of millions of dollars, but we all look up to them.
I wonder if Karen, when she got up at 5:30 in the morning, Korea time, was like, you know what? I'm really ready to hunker down and talk about Poltergeist.
This is exciting. I'm loving it.
Doesn't everyone do that? They get up early in the morning and they want to talk Poltergeist at 5 a.m.?
Also, I just woke up and I'm not getting any credit for it just because I happen to be in L.A. That's not fair at all.
Yeah, I mean, 2 o'clock is early on a Sunday.
Ian is the real hero here, and we're really not appreciating him enough.
Thank you very much. I think I should be put forward here more often, and my sacrifices should be noted.
They're noted.
Thank you.
What was Ian on the All Fantasy Everything podcast? What was the last thing that you drafted?
Oh, what was the last thing we drafted?
It's been a minute since you've done one.
We actually just recorded one earlier today, but we're banking them because I'm going to drive up to Portland, Oregon to see my family soon. So we won't be able to record them. The last topic we did, I think, was we just had Eddie Pepitone on. That's what it was. And we drafted animals we'd like to be.
Oh, yeah. And what did you end up on? What's your animal?
I don't know if I remember all five because we each pick five things, but I definitely took a tiny little show pony that everyone's very proud of. You know, when you go to like a fair or whatever and there's like a lot of big horses, but then there's a little one with like bangs and like it doesn't know it's small, so it kind of does all the stuff that big horses do. I'm like a giant dude, so I've always admired their sort of pluck and also all the admiration they get. So I think it was that, a killer whale, a Persian cat, and a whale shark, and I forget the fifth one.
Whatever it is, I don't think you can possibly name an animal that's just one word.
No. an animal that's just one word?
Yeah.
Orca.
That would fit this category.
No, fancy little show ponies, I can't count that high, but
yeah,
many numbers.
All right, well, hopefully you'll be a fancy little winning show pony today because we're going to play a couple of games, and this is the part of the show where I say, let the games begin! this first game is called, pardon the expression, ABC These Nuts, and it's a spelling game, which means that we'll go alphabetically like we did in the intro. So Karen will go first, and then Ian, and then Oliver. And we're going to spell, in honor of your movie, Robbie, we're going to spell Celebrity Crush. And the idea is I'll come to each of you with a letter in sequence in the word Celebrity Crush. And whatever letter I give you, you just name any movie that begins with that letter. But I wrote down ahead of time a movie for each letter. If you match the one that I wrote, you know, magically, then you automatically win this game. But otherwise, all you got to do is name a movie that begins with a letter. And there will be a theme emerging as we go along.
Okay.
Could this be any more complicated? I don't think so.
Can we get a lifeline?
No lifelines.
Okay.
Well, you could ask somebody on the street.
I got out my window.
What a horrible lifeline. Horrible lifeline on Cash Cab now to roll down your window and ask me to come over and lean in and talk to you. Karen, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, all the way in Korea. This is crazy. Name any movie that begins with the letter C.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
That's a perfect one. Which, the original or the one with Steve Martin?
The one with Steve Martin.
Of course. And then I think they squeezed out a Cheaper by the Dozen 2 out of that as well.
They did. Just as good, I might say.
Was it really? It was one of those sequels that actually lives up to the original?
Yeah, and I loved the original. I watched it like all the time when I was little.
Everybody has movies that hit them at a certain age, and then they stay with them for life.
That's true.
I remember
Milo and Otis was for me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The Adventures of Milo and Otis is your.
No, that one just stuck with me as a little kid. I remember watching it, and then it was one of those ones I watched like 150 times.
And as a little kid, you were never concerned about that they just put kittens in a basket and just throw it off a cliff?
That's why I liked it. I was a very, very dark child. I knew.
You knew it was going to be you being thrown off a basket.
That's right.
In a basket on CBS.
Right, exactly, yeah. Now, this challenge is Milo and Otising. How many times can you die in a creek?
The movie I wrote down for the letter C is called Cecil B. Demented, a John Waters movie. Yeah, so we'll see if we have more titles, more of us, figure out the theme better. E is the next letter, and that's for you, Ian. Just any movie that begins with E.
Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, wouldn't it be crazy if I had written down Every Which Way You Can?
Oh, and I was so close. Yeah.
Speaking of sequels, I went with a movie called 8 and a Half, the Federico Fellini classic. Yeah, begins with E, strangely enough. L is the next letter for Oliver to take a stab at.
I'm going to go with Last Picture Show, the Bogdanovich film.
Oh, that is a really good, you're certainly seem to have gleaned what we're driving at here with these titles, but I went with, maybe it's just a, you know, based on my location, I went with La La Land.
Oh, yeah.
La La Land. E is the next letter, Karen.
I'm going to say E.T.
The extraterrestrial?
Yeah.
That one?
What if I were like the other E.T.?
Yeah, that was one where they never went back to the E.T. well, but one of the Star Wars prequels has like a ton of little E.T. looking guys hanging around in that big council meeting that has,
oh, that's right,
3,000 people at it. They could have just done it over Zoom. I don't know why they'd all be there. I can't believe Star Wars doesn't have Zoom technology.
That's a really good point.
If you're not going to be a hologram, you can't go. You can't.
Yeah, you got to like load yourself into a droid, send the droid to another planet. It's a whole like, there's a lot of rigmarole there.
Yeah. And I'm going to stop talking about this before we make Star Wars people mad at us. E is the next letter. Oh, I already said it. You already answered. I wrote down Enter Laughing. You remember that? It was based on a play, and it was a movie about a guy trying to become a comedy writer.
No, I should watch that.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's any good or not. B is the next letter going to Ian.
Ooh, Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
Have you ever had to play a game with Venus on the show that's called that?
No, but that would have been perfect. season 2. We have to navigate around a bunch of like dancing teapots and stuff, you know?
I mean, I would be stunned if that show doesn't get a season 2. I mean, it might if there's no people standing near each other anymore, but
I mean, what with the state of things, who knows? Yeah. Everything's up in the air. Yeah, up in the air is one of the games we've done though. It's me dangling from the roof. That's the entire thing.
That sounds exciting.
I
love that concept.
Did you win?
I did. I dangled. I did dangle. I've dangled in 4 different games on the show. They love dangling a big fat guy. And you know what? They're right. It's a funny thing to see.
It's never not entertaining because there's always that chance it's going to go from seeing a fat guy dangling to a fat guy falling hard on the floor.
Right, exactly. There's nothing funnier than that. Also, there's a good chance I'm full of candy, so the pinata rule is in effect.
Oh, my God.
I don't want that candy, Daddy. That candy came from a bad place. Okay. R is it? B was I wrote down Being John Malkovich. R is the next letter for Oliver.
I will go with Roadhouse. That classic.
That's such a classic.
It is. It was a philosophical movie. Everything you need to know about life, you could learn from Roadhouse. You know how to
handle
situations. You know, Patrick Swayze summed it up for all of us.
Do you think maybe somebody out there should make a meme or something where they put a mask on his character from Roadhouse?
Yeah, they should. You know,
because he was a tough dude, but he would have wore a mask
for sure.
I remember he did like Tai Chi in it too. He wasn't just physical brawn and power; it was all motivated through emotional power as well.
Yeah, that guy was mystical.
Pain don't hurt, but pandemics do. You know, that could be, that could maybe be the meme.
I think that works. I think it'll work perfectly.
Nobody wins a pandemic. There it is.
or his other catchphrase could be on, you know, it could be on the mask. It could just say, be nice.
Yeah.
Until you don't have to be nice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but we could leave the "until you don't have to be nice" part out of it, because that just implies it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
Did I say Rosemary's Baby?
No.
Ooh,
no.
That's what I wrote.
Well, Roadhouse and Rosemary are very close. You know, they really are.
What? Yeah, you win so far in movies that are most similar.
Yeah, I really. Yeah, they're all both horror movies in a way.
Wait, are there like little mini prizes that we can be getting right now?
Not really. No, it's like if you match me, you just win the game. And, you know, if there was an audience, you'd be playing for somebody in the audience. They'd be very excited. But when we do it via Zoom, it's really just personal pride is the only thing anybody wins.
Gotcha, and gotcha.
I feel like you're all full of it already. I think you're all full of it. what is a movie that begins with the letter I? And it's Karen's turn.
The Incredibles.
That's a great one. Yeah. Everybody, it was interesting. People feel like Incredibles 2 was turned out really good, but it just got so overshadowed by the newness of the Spider-Verse movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Those were both really good movies that came out in the same month, right?
Yeah, but Spider-Verse was so fresh, and Incredibles was, you know, a sequel, so we knew the characters and whatever. So people say that they thought that's what sort of hurt Incredibles' steam a little bit, Incredibles 2, I should say. But I did think it was good. I gotta see it again sometime, because I just watched it the one time. Great story! I said... For the letter I, the reason I went into that long story is for the letter I had written Incredibles 2. Just kidding. I wrote down, do you remember that crazy-ass documentary, I'm Still Here?
Yes.
With Joaquin Phoenix, where he was just going around being weird on talk shows and stuff.
Yeah, that's like when he went on Letterman with the beard and the sunglasses and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have either of you on... Seth Meyers or the other one?
Jim Corden.
Have you either of you experienced like a top notch crazy guest? I guess I wouldn't want you to name names, but
I actually don't think so. We also, the writers don't really interact with the guests on the show unless we already know them personally, in which case we can like go over and say hi. But I don't think so. I went over once, I guess I was the crazy one, is when Emma Thompson was on her show. I'm such a big fan, and I couldn't bring myself to say hi to her, so I just sort of lurked the entire time in the green room area. I remember our head writer being like, why are you back here? And I was like, please pretend like I'm not here.
I go do that too, just like on the off chance that like Mel Brooks will be like, that guy, that's the guy I need in my next picture. Like that's going to happen.
I finally found a young Dom DeLuise.
Can I tell you something? That is the second time someone has referred to me as a young Dom DeLuise this week, and I'm loving it. I'll soak it all up.
That's a compliment.
I 100% agree.
Genius.
That dude was hilarious. He was the funniest guy. Yeah. No, I mean, him laughing made the world laugh. It was crazy. Like, he didn't even have to. Yeah. But he was really good at, you know, his timing was great. Oh, it was great. So good job being like him, Ian.
Thank you very much.
What letter are we on? Oh, we're on T, so that always gets tricky because, of course, a lot of movies begin with the. What do you think, Ian?
Ooh, it's on me. I'm going to go with Terminator.
Isn't it? I think
two,
it is.
Judgment Day. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said The Truman Show.
Oh, that's a different. That's a very different movie.
Yeah.
Both kind of post-apocalyptic, though. You know?
They are, yeah.
You know?
For sure. Yeah, the theme is high up for a lot of interpretation. What do you think is the letter Y? What do you think I'd do with that? That was a tough one for me, Oliver. How are you feeling about it?
I almost cheated, but I didn't. But the first movie that popped in my mind was the film Yes Man. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
With Jim Carrey. I saw that. I loved it. I mean, I thought it was such a fun film. A simple concept, but it was like a laugh riot. I loved it as a kid.
Yeah, but that sexist title has got to go.
We'll revise it for this, the remake.
Remake.
They should just change it to yes, yes, yes.
Or just yes, people. Just not yes, yes man, but yes.
Yes, people. World.
Yes, world. Yeah. So yeah. Collective.
I want to
yes
live people. In yes world.
The collective yes.
Well, I went with a very kind of depressing documentary because it takes a really deep, hard look at the documentary about Showgirls, the movie Showgirls. And that film was called You Don't Know Me.
No, never seen it.
Yeah, I don't know if I can recommend it. It's a lot of really sitting and thinking about the movie Showgirls.
Yeah, that movie had some good things in it, you know.
It's a pretty disturbing movie, but it is also like a lot of people's favorite, you know, kind of bad movie to laugh at. It's really it's been a strange road for that film. C is the next letter for back to Karen. You got any ideas? Karen?
We lost Karen.
Oh, did we lose Karen?
Oh, no. What happened in Korea?
Ooh.
Karen. What do you think? Let's see. Let's hey, check Doug. In with producer Ryan.
Hey, Doug, producer Ryan here. Yeah, it looks like Karen just, as we were waiting for her to respond, it kicked her out of the Zoom call. So let's see. Hopefully she'll try to rejoin, and I'll make a note to edit this part out.
Or actually, though, I could just throw out a commercial right here so I give us a second to wait for her.
Sure.
She's going to come back. I feel it. She's probably
I feel it, too. So let's leave all that stuff in, Ryan, and I'll just say let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll see if we can gather up, figure out how to get in touch with Karen while we do that. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, we're back, and Karen is back with us. What happened, Karen?
I'm so sorry. My Zoom just froze, and I basically, because I couldn't see any of your faces, I couldn't tell what was going on. But I have disconnected and reconnected to the Wi-Fi like a woman in STEM, so now I'm back.
Well, I hope it works, and thank you for reconnecting.
Thank you. I hope to turn the logs off for some reason next time. No, it's because I'm actually pissed off at you.
Oh, okay.
Or you're the subject of a DDoS attack because I've employed Anonymous to try to win this game.
Right.
So we were, the letter was a C, right?
Oh, is it my turn?
I think so. Okay. I think that's where it was funny because we thought you were just taking a while to think about it before answering.
I'm sorry. The letter C, Call Me Madam.
Oh, okay. I went with this movie called, I don't know if any of you have heard of it, I don't know why you would have, maybe. Clouds of Seals Maria. Have you heard of that?
No.
I think I have heard that for some reason.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was played, it played in American theaters for a while a couple of years ago, and I liked it, but it also fits in with the theme. R is the next letter, Ian.
Ooh, R. And Roadhouse is already off the board. This is tricky. Redemption Road. Or Revolutionary Road. Revolutionary Road.
I mean, there's so many roads.
There's so many roads. Don't get started on the streets. I'm like, for God's sake. Revolutionary Road.
Okay. I went with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Huh. R.I.P.
We miss them every day.
We miss them every day.
U is the next letter for Oliver.
I am going to go with Under the Tuscan Sun.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. My heart skipped because when you said under the, you were just one word away from matching me.
Damn. We went from roads
to land. I was so close. I felt your energy.
I wrote down under the rainbow.
Oh.
Remember, that was a movie about the making of Wizard of Oz and how all the little people were maniacs.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's scenes of like Chevy Chase and what's her name, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, I lost everyone just for a moment there. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Did you hear
Under the Rainbow is about little people from Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I don't know what you were referencing before you were talking about that, but yeah, Under the Rainbow was great.
How did Carrie Fisher and Chevy Chase enter a documentary about the Wizard of Oz?
No, it's a narrative feature.
It was about making the Wizard of Oz, kind of.
Yeah, it's about the making of it, but the main point they were making is that the little people were out of control, like they trashed the hotel.
Oh my God!
It's a comedy and it's not funny. And but my favorite part is when you know how we use old timey elevators. You get in and you call which level you want to go to.
Yeah.
There's this big guy and there's a little person standing next to him, and the big guy says ballroom, and then the little guy moves a few feet away. It's the worst. Okay, where are we at now?
S.
And it's back to Karen, I think.
Okay, I'd say Spy Kids.
That's a great one.
Thank you.
So many sequels with really complicated titles I could never remember.
Finger Family.
Mm-hmm. I went with a movie called Singing in the Rain.
Oh, wow. Okay. I should have thought of that.
And finally, we're down to the H. There's no losers here. There's just three guests who played a game. And it's almost like the Twilight Zone, like where there just isn't a win or a loss. It's just we got through it.
Satisfaction playing the game.
Yeah, I hope there's somebody's having some satisfaction. Ian?
An H movie?
H movie. I'm going to go ahead just for fun. Uh-huh. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that all these movies are about, you know, actors and acting and filmmaking.
It's about actors and acting and filmmaking. Hard Day's Night?
Oh. That would kind of work.
I guess it's A Hard Day's Night. I don't know if
it was
that
like
even
more
counts.
Like, you know, I took the title of Oliver's movie Celebrity Crush and just thought, well, you know, movies with, you know, just that are about celebrities, and it just sort of melded into actors. And a couple years ago, the Coen brothers entered into that category when they made Hail Caesar.
Oh, yeah. That one is on, that's on Netflix right now, and I've been just sort of throwing it on. That's a good hang, that movie.
Yeah, it's got some musical numbers that are kind of weird.
Yeah. communism musical numbers. It's perfect.
Yeah, describing movies as a good hang. I feel like that's like a great way to make a genre of film.
A lot of those Coen brother movies are kind of like that, where you're just like, I'd like to be in the same room as this energy for like a couple hours.
Yeah, that's so nice. I don't want to be scared and I don't want to cry because of a movie. I just want to be like, oh, this is chill.
I'm the same way. I've been hanging on by a thread as it is. I don't need any help from Hollywood.
I mean, it's such a unique sensibility too. It's only the Coen brothers have, you know, which is so cool.
It really, you're so right. It's really like their point of view is so solid.
Yeah, they're like, one of the few modern filmmaking, they're practically like one unit the way they direct and produce and write. But other auteurs aren't going back to period films so often and also defining how period films are, you know, like they're the guys that are making those.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like ones that have comedy and drama and strange violence, like, their movies have so many elements in them. You can't ever, some of them, like Hail Caesar, are more fun than others. Like, some become a bad hang, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Well, it celebrates the most fun parts of Hollywood's past, too. And
yeah.
And they put it through, you know, even you could say rose-colored glasses, how we look at it. And that's so kind of refreshing. And we need that. We need that kind of feel-good feeling right now.
I love though when Hail Caesar came out, you know, there were lots of commercials for it. You know, it was a big push from the studio, and then Jonah Hill was on SNL as host, and he said, "I'm currently starring in Hail Caesar, if you believe the commercials." Because he's all over the commercials and then he's barely in the movie.
That's so funny. Right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it was so funny to just see him burning them on opening weekend that he's not really in it that much.
That's fantastic.
Okay, so that means that we don't officially have a winner, which means that Karen gets to go first in this next game because the winner goes first, but we have to flip it over to back to alphabetical order. But everybody gets a chance to go first in this game being rechristened on this episode. You guys are on a historical episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Because this game was called Popularity Contest, but it's a game where I realized someone pointed out to me that I on the IMDb database, on the website or the app, you can pick a movie and then click on popularity to reveal a list of the cast members in that movie in the order of their current popularity, that like that moment when you choose to look it up.
Oh, oh wow. Interesting. Oh.
We have that feature.
And it's really, it's not a great feature to find out about if you're in movies and TV shows, because you'll want to know like where you ranked. And I'll just tell Ian, you ranked pretty well on the Game On regular list.
Oh, that's excellent news.
You managed to rank higher than some of the others.
That's right. Take that, Landon Donovan.
I don't know. I guess it's what people are searching on IMDb, so they probably tend to search movie titles or maybe people that are in the news for one reason or another, like when someone passes away, I think increases their popularity on IMDb for a time. So that's why the name, suggested by Pirate Techno on the social media, suggested that I now call this game, and I am calling it from now on, Weird Algorithm.
I have to come clean about the IMDb thing. I do get a lot of hits just from people who forget Dom DeLuise's name, though. And they're just like, Ian Carmel? And it's like, do you mean Dom DeLuise? And they're like, that's right, yes.
They're searching old Ian Carmel.
Old Italian Ian Carmel. Yeah.
So I'm going to name a movie, and then I'll go to you, Karen, and all you got to do is name whoever you think will be listed as the most popular person in that movie, according to IMDb. And if you name the first place, the person who's first, you get 3 points, 2 for second, 1 for third. People can, you guys can all guess the same thing if you want. If a person guessing ahead of you says something you like, you can just share their answer. The idea is to just try to strategically end up with more points in the end.
Okay. And these are, you're assuming we will know the movies that you say.
I'm hoping you will know the movie, but I'm happy to describe it further without naming the actors if anybody needs that. Plus, also, like I said, once somebody starts suggesting who they think it might be, then the cat's out of the bag. It's not like you're not going to be privy to that information. So it all should all come together. And you can also, you know, you can pass and decide who you want to pick after the other guys if you don't know what. If you are not familiar with Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Never seen it. Sorry. No, just kidding.
Okay.
Oh, my God. The main guy. He's married to Sarah Jessica Parker.
I think that's how he's listed on.
That should count. That should count.
Mr. Sarah Jessica Parker is who I'm thinking of.
Okay, so we know who you mean. That's the important thing is we know who you mean, and you can change your. I'll ask everybody to lock in their answer in a second. Who do you think it is, Ian?
Charlie Sheen.
Right, he shows up as a delinquent who flirts with somebody, and
yeah,
couple scenes towards the end of the film. What do you think, Oliver?
Matthew Broderick. I would just go with
that's his name.
Yes.
You're confident in Matthew Broderick?
Yes. I'm going to go with him.
Okay. I wasn't teasing you guys or kidding when I said that the algorithm is very strange. And I've been playing this game for a little while now, and I don't know what the heck's going on. So I'll start at number 6 for this one because I just think it's interesting. The guy who plays Cameron, Ferris Bueller's buddy, who gets his dad's car ruined because Ferris is a dick.
Oh, yeah.
he's played by Alan Ruck.
Oh, he's in Succession.
Succession, yeah.
Yeah.
And Speed, too.
Speed.
Yeah, remember that
not
one?
Speed. He's not in Speed 2.
Nope.
Just the first Speed. Although maybe he shows up in the second Speed, but it's on a cruise ship, and I think it's completely different.
Nobody's seen Speed 2, so there's no way to know. It's eluded scientists.
It can't be seen with the naked eye.
He's in the Outtakes.
He's just wandering the background of the pier eating a like a ice water.
Yeah. In disguise, too.
All right, you are going to love this, everybody. Coming in at number 5 is Ferris Bueller himself, Matthew Broderick.
Wow.
That's how savage this thing is.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the same algorithm put Ian Carmel thinks he's more popular than Venus Williams.
That's right. That's right. I've never lost at Wimbledon, and Venus has like 1 or 2 times. So
yeah,
add that
it's
up.
True. She does have those losses to drag her down.
She won it 5 times, but she's also lost, and I never have.
You were going to say something, Karen?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I regularly favorite Ian's tweets on Twitter. I don't know if I've ever favorited a Venus Williams tweet before. So,
what more proof do you need? There it is.
I don't think she tweets.
Yeah, you know what? That's not part of the equation here.
Someone in her team tweets. Someone
in her team, when something happens to her, someone on her team runs out and tweets it and then runs back to their place like a ball boy.
That should be how you should have to tweet. It should have to involve that. It would cut down on a lot of the problems Twitter has, I think.
You crawl out of something and then tweet and then crawl back where you came from. But no points for this, but good call on figuring it out. Charlie Sheen is listed fourth. An actress who was in a lot of things around that time, but only has a couple lines in this movie, came in third, and that's Christy Swanson. For whatever reason, people are more into the women of Ferris Bueller than the dudes, because number two is Jennifer Grey, Ferris's sister, and number one is Mia Sara, Ferris's gal pal. Right.
Mia Sara is number one?
Mia Sara, number one. That's why I wrote this down, because when I clicked on it, I went, that is amazing. That
She was like a legend at that time, too. I think she was really...
Yeah.
I had a crush on her, you know.
Yeah, she was effortless in her acting, and but then also didn't really care about the showbiz grind, I don't think, so I don't know.
Good for her. She's just so cool in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, man. Just like, just so cool. Like you said, effortless, completely.
So chill. Like the movie has a lot of tense parts because Ferris Bueller is always about to be caught, but when she's around, it's very chill.
Yeah.
Okay, so nobody got any points, which is a great way to start. We got two more rounds. Everybody's getting into the swing of it, and we're all having a wonderful time, according to me. We'll start with you, Ian.
Co-signed. Okay, here we go.
Who do you think is the most popular person in a movie called Serendipity?
Okay. Kate Beckinsale?
She is in it, indeed.
I'm going Beckinsale.
You're going Beckinsale.
I'm going Beckinsale over the other lead.
Because you can't think of who that is?
I do know who it is now. I do know who it is now, but I definitely thought of her first. I'm going Beckinsale.
Okay, Oliver?
I would probably say the same thing. Maybe, no, let me say John Cusack. He was in it, right? I'm thinking of the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cusack was in it. Had to run around all over the place to try to find Kate Beckinsale. I think, does she try to look for him at all, or does she just live her life?
I can't remember.
I forget.
She looks too, I think. I think she looks too a little bit.
They both have like openings in relationships in their lives, so they kind of go back to... You know, it's just one of those movies where they finally get together at the end. Sorry to spoil it for everybody.
He writes his name in a book or something, and then she writes her name, her number in a book, and he finds that book right before he's about to get married, I think.
Yeah, and the number she wrote in the book was "fuck you," and he gets so angry that he leaves his wedding and hunts her down.
that would be perfect for the remake of Serendipity. A little more edgy.
Karen, have you ever seen this movie?
I haven't, but I actually... So I'm going to say Eugene Levy, because the only reason I know he's in this movie is that I went on like a Wikipedia Eugene Levy like hole, and that was listed as one of the films. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch this because he's in it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you can save yourself the trouble. Because while Eugene Levy's amazing, he just plays a guy in a clothing store that John Cusack yells at for 10 minutes because he wants him to look into the records and find this woman's name and information because she bought something at that store.
Oh.
And Eugene Levy just keeps telling him no, which it's a funny scene, I guess, but... he's not in it as much as I would like to see Eugene Levy. You're much better off just with Schitt's Creek or any of the Christopher Guest movies.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
He's so great, though.
Oh, yeah.
So he did manage to. So everybody, everybody locked in. Final answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So Eugene Levy did manage to make number four, which is, like I said, is great considering he's only got that one part in the movie. Three was the lady that John Cusack's character ends up with for a little while, Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, the mother of one Tom Brady's first kid. They had a kid together.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah. Then he left her for Gisele Bündchen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know her best as the wife in John Wick who doesn't get to do anything but be in a photograph. She dies immediately. It's only seen in a photo.
4 days on set.
Yeah. Number two is John Cusack. Show of hands, who had John Cusack?
John Cusack. I'm raising my hand now, everyone.
You are. So Oliver gets 2 points for that.
Yay. And
everybody else said Kate Beckinsale, though, right?
I said Kate Beckinsale, yeah. Yeah. I'm everybody else.
What did you say, Karen?
I said Eugene.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Didn't mean to rub it in.
No, it's okay.
You still have a chance in this thing because Ian's only got three and Oliver's got two, and you get to go first in this final round.
Okay.
And it might be the most messed up of all of the ones that I've presented thus far.
I was right. It was Kate Beckinsale number one.
Oh yeah. Kate Beckinsale's number one.
Yeah, Beckinsale.
Yeah, I like seeing Mia Sara and Kate Beckinsale number one. I didn't love the results of this next one. The film is the most recent adaptation of Little Women, directed by and adapted by Greta Gerwig from 2019.
Ooh.
Okay. And you,
Karen, who do you think landed in that top slot? You
said the order is weird?
Yeah, I think it is. I think I could honestly say that it's a weird...
Okay.
Decision. It's not a decision. It's just an algorithm, but it's still weird.
In that case, I'm going to go with Laura Dern.
Ooh.
Okay.
I like that.
Which is no offense to Laura Dern. It's just because she's not one of the main Little Women.
Yeah. She's Marmee or whatever.
Yeah, she is Marmee.
What do you think, Oliver? Or sorry, Ian?
I gotta go with Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, that's a great answer. Damn it.
The internet loves Chalamet. But there's some very internet, like there's some beloved internet figures in this cast, so it's tough.
Yeah.
And Oliver, what do you think?
Because of the whole Harry Potter thing, I'm gonna go with Emma Watson.
Oh, that's smart.
No. Because she just has a following in Harry Potter and that generation, they love her. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with her.
That is smart.
Is somebody's pod ready?
Yeah. I think my instant message was on. That's that little beep was. But it was like approving my answer, you know.
It's Saoirse Ronan cussing him out for not getting picked. Yeah. She's texting him directly.
That was my lifeline. Sorry, I was cheating.
No cheating. Okay, is everybody locked in? Or would you, Karen, like to change your answer?
No, I'm going to go strong for Laura Dern.
Going strong for Laura Dern. She's had, there's really been a Dernissance of the last few years. She's been great.
Dern tootin' it has.
I am talking today about like replacing all the mirrors in my home with like life-size photos of Laura Dern just so I feel really good about myself. And then I thought ultimately that would be creepy.
Ultimately, but go ahead, do it.
Something for Laura. She's someone to look up to, you know?
Yeah. Great.
Get at least one, like, you know, full size Laura Dern somewhere in the house.
You have to get it from Jurassic Park, too. That's important. You know, if you
like
the T Rex scene, you know.
Laying on the was it a six Stegosaurus or like a Triceratops or whatever, where she like rises up and down with it or whatever?
Yeah, he's like feeling its heartbeat. That's a brilliant moment.
Or like when she sticks her whole arm in a big pile of dung.
Yeah. There was something satisfying about that. I'm willing to go be on that island, but like when I saw her do that, I was like, yeah, I would probably stick my entire arm into a pile of Triceratops shit. I probably would.
Warm.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet it would be warm. Okay, so I'm sorry to say, Karen, they put Laura Dern in the number 5 slot.
No, they didn't.
I know. I expected her to do better. She won the Oscar. She just won it. But then number 4, with apologies to Oliver, is Emma Watson. I thought she'd finish stronger.
Dang.
Yeah.
Arguably the lead little woman, Saoirse Ronan, she's number 3.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Number 2 is Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
She had a big year with Little Women and Midsommar. Couldn't be two more different movies.
Pugh is a fun Instagram follow, by the way. She's always on there, like, teaching you how to make British food or, like, making a cocktail. It's not a bad time.
It's so fun. And she has, like, a really great narrator voice, too, for when she's making the food. It's very calming.
Oh, she really does. Yeah, absolutely. Like, definitely, like, make you feel safe. We need it right
now.
She's great. I think people like aren't completely aware of her yet because she's so different in every part she's played. But once they finally release the movie with her and Scarlett Johansson kicking people in the face, the Black Widow movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they play like sisters or cousins or something. And they have like Russian accents and they beat up people. So I can't wait.
That's a potent combination. Russian accent and, you know, beating up girls, beating up people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very, I just give up. You know, if I saw them, I'd be that guy that turns and runs. Number 1, you did it, Ian.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Timothée Chalamet is the number 1 person in Little Women.
Tells you all you need to know about this industry, doesn't it?
It's shocking, but you know, it's people looking up the movies that the industry's making. So you just have to not have Timothy there in the first place.
people love Chalamet, man.
They
love him.
He's very charming and a good actor. Like, he's one of those ones that his characters, even the ones that aren't necessarily smart intellectually, they just seem very wise and like. He's great. I think I didn't watch that movie where he's a king. The King.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet either. But
that's
like,
on Netflix, and it looks muddy and boring.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. It was fun.
Was it fun?
The coolness.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's lots of fighting, right? Lots of battles.
Fighting, but there's a lot of great dialogue scenes, and he's really great in it. Actually.
So. It helps that he already looks like a medieval painting of a prince, just like the angles to his face.
It really does. Yeah. It really does. That's true.
Like it's it's hard to sell post Game of Thrones. It's hard to sell anything that looks like it's just GOT without dragons.
Yeah, that's true. That's big true.
Because those dragons really took it to another thing. Gave the whole, all the people like pets something to, you know, care about. Yeah. Karen Chi.
Yes.
Always checking to see if you're still there.
Oh, I am. I'm just listening studiously.
Here's another fun couple things I found looking over this stuff. In Little Women, number 6 was Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Who just has a few scenes in the movie, so that shows you the power of Meryl Streep. Mm. But also... the weirdness of the algorithm again. Somehow Meryl Streep is number 2 in popularity. If you look up the movie Ricky and the Flash, where she's Ricky. So that's the weirdest thing. So I'm definitely going to be playing this game more in the future. Thank you for being, test subjects with this thing.
Where did Odenkirk come in?
Oh, he managed to crack the top 12, I think, maybe. He did all right. Yeah, I didn't write that down, though. But, oh, man, me and my girlfriend really enjoy Bob Odenkirk in Little Women because when he shows up, he's just so Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
The line, right? He has the My Little Women line.
Yeah. It's just like, I think he's a great actor. I think he kills it on Better Call Saul and Fargo and pretty much everything he does. But in that was an example of me just going, oh, that's Bob Odenkirk in this movie. I'm supposed to be taken away to another time, and then suddenly he runs in.
That guy I see every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I didn't know he was in it going in because you just watched the screener, you know, and then it's all of a sudden,
oh man,
Bob Odenkirk. All right. It was,
yeah, because they keep talking about when's he going to come back? When's he going to come back? And then, you know, you think it's going to be like fucking Brian Dennehy or some shit. It's Bob Odenkirk. Hey! So anyway, I thought that was some fun info. And Karen, did we get from you earlier a definitive answer on what you think is a good, like, nice chill movie to watch right now?
I've been doing a lot of rewatching because I think just knowing what's going to happen chills me out. And the movie I rewatch the most often is The Parent Trap. So I think I've seen that maybe 4 times since quarantine started.
Which one?
The Lindsay Lohan one.
It's a fun movie too. It's
Have so you ever good. Seen the one with the
original one?
The first one, yeah.
I haven't, but it's truly because the Lindsay Lohan one is so perfect that I can't. Anytime I'm like, I should watch The Parent Trap and I should watch this different version of it, I'm like, why would I do that? I know this one's rock solid.
That's a Nancy Myers joint too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, she is so. Again, it's back to that word effortless. She was like, she was such a star and so amazing in that movie and in Mean Girls. Like she in Mean Girls and in that movie, in both cases, she had more than one identity, and she's having that thrown at her as a teenage actress and killing it.
Such a good actor, so good.
Yeah,
for sure. But since Ian lost today, it's time for him to take the L. I wanted to say that so bad I said it anyway, even though you won. You
did. It's your podcast, man. Fucking do whatever you want. Bounce on the handlebars. I love it.
Yeah, you won. You're the winner. But let's talk plugs for everybody, starting with Oliver Robbins. The movie's called Celebrity Crush.
And it's, by the way, thank you for using that as part of the game, the title. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure because, you know, I love, you know, promoting what my guests are up to. And that's, you know, I've found out over the years that, that kind of thing is easier for people to remember later when they're trying to decide, you know, looking for a movie to see. They're going to be like, what was that movie Doug was talking about? Oh,
right, I think the podcast,
it was called Crash. It was called Crash. Let's watch Crash.
What was that again? Yeah, it was Crash.
There's two Crashes to choose from, and they're both awful in different ways. Okay, so where you can see it on demand everywhere you get your movies right now that are out there wanting to be seen. No, you know, there's you can't see them in theaters for the most part in this country. So definitely support filmmakers like Oliver Robbins and check this movie out if you can.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being here. It really is exciting to meet you because that was, you know, I mean, it's probably scarier for you to be in it than for me to watch it. But Poltergeist was very, very big movie for me.
I had a blast doing it as a kid. It was a pleasure to be able to be in that kind of film. And I loved it, you know.
All right. Ian Carmel, you can watch him get the crap kicked out of him by bowling balls and bowling pins and soccer balls and all
sorts. Watch Demi Lovato cover me in industrial lubricant using a mop. It all happens on Game On.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just going off into your, like, you know, hoping for more future episodes.
That's it's on my list of demands for season 2. No,
more ideas.
Watch Game On, listen to All Fantasy Everything. Doug, we'll have you on as whatever you want, man. Absolutely.
I know I want to do it so bad. I've got like several different things I feel like I would be excited to rank, so let's do it.
Hell yeah. We fantasy draft pop culture stuff. So give it a listen. It's pretty fun.
And Karen Chief, another first-time guest, knocking it out of the park, reconnecting from Korea. Are you there still?
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. working from home, so writing jokes for Seth Meyers for late night.
Yeah, I guess that's my main plug. Plug that. I'll plug my Twitter. It's just my name. I'll plug Florence Pugh's Instagram stories. She does not know me, and I do not know her, but I hope everybody watches.
Well, let's get Karen Chi and Florence Pugh together, and because I feel like they would enjoy each other. And thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
What do I have to plug? Just follow Doug Loves Movies on Twitter. If you're a Doug Loves Movies fan, that's the place for all your direct Doug Loves Movies talk and less, you know, about all the other nonsense that's going on right now. But my main Twitter is full of stuff that gets me unfollowed daily.
That's an accomplishment.
I guess so. I mean, I don't want to lose fans, but also if that's how they feel, then okay. trying to make the best of it. Again, one more time, thank you to Karen Chi, Ian Carbell, and Oliver Robbins. As always, I don't know, maybe it was Utah.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes it.